Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining us today. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, that's crossandthrone.com. Our phone number is 847-312-4676. And also go to our website. You can download these programs for free. All you have to do is have access to the computer. You can either play them or download them, put on your iPod, do as you please. We only ask that when you go back and listen, you have an open Bible and you search and see whether these things are so. We also have available on our website some very good study tools, the Companion Bible and the Concordant Literal New Testament and a few other items that are what we feel will be beneficial for you in studying the Scriptures. Remember, one of the goals here in this ministry is to make you become a Bible reader. Don't believe anything I tell you just because I tell you it. Search the Scriptures. Become a student in the Word of God. It's our belief here that every believer should be skilled in the Scriptures. And so we hope that this will encourage you to do so. Well, today we're going to talk about the ABCs of Bible study. A lot of people who have their interest awakened to Bible study ask where they should begin. Should they start in Genesis? Should they just read the Proverbs and so forth? And so the question is asked very often, where do we start? And though we believe that all Scripture is profitable here, it's all given by inspiration of God, yet if you want to learn the fundamentals to start, there are a few recommendations we'd like to give to you. If you've been a believer a long time and you've gone through the Gospel of John, Romans, and Ephesians, we suggest that you start reading cover to cover through the Bible. But for those of you who are just beginning, we do have a few helpful suggestions. Well, first of all, I want to start off, I think a good place to begin would be the Gospel of John. Now, if you've listened to this program long enough, you know we believe in rightly dividing the word of truth as to dispensational distinctions and so forth. However, the Gospel of John does not deal with any calling such as the kingdom or the church. But the purpose that John wrote was found in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And this is what it says in John chapter 20. John said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Now, John does not present Christ as the King of Israel or as the head of the church, which is his body, but it presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the incarnate Word, the Savior of the world. It is possible for a man to have life and yet make no further progress. Now, keep that in mind. That's why we have today. There are many people who are believers in Christ, but they seem to know nothing more than the basics. So it is possible today for somebody to have life and yet make very little progress. And as far as we can tell from the Scriptures, as a matter of fact, go listen to our audio on Life, Calling, and Prize, and we've talked about that a little bit more in detail. But John is the basics. And John, if you were to search the whole entire range of Scripture, you will find that there's not one book written, not one letter written, with a view to getting an unbelieving person to become a believer. The Gospel of John is the starting place. It's the only book written with the express purpose of bringing life to those who believe it. Remember, the greatest problem in the world today is not Social Security. It's not who's going to win the next election. The greatest problem in the world today is death, sin and death. And religion has been trying to solve the problem, but it can't do it. If you have professed to have a religion and you have no solution to sin and death, you don't really have anything at all. The Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he is the life, and he gives life and immortality to all who believe in him. So John really solves the problem of the graveyard. And so we would like to say here that the Gospel of John is really first base. It's where we begin with God and where God presents to us the person of his Son. Now, another thing that's important in Bible study, since we're calling this program the ABCs of Bible Study, one of the things that is important is when we read the Scriptures, we believe it. So John, when he writes, these things are written that we might believe it. And so when we read the scriptures, we must come to it with a believing attitude. So I think that's a good place to start, is in the Gospel of John. And a couple of homework assignments that you might consider is start in the Gospel of John and get out a highlighter and look in John every time you see the word believe. Look for every reference to the word believe. If you're using a King James, it says believe or believeth, same thought. And so every time you see the word believe, highlight it and tally it up and see how many there are in there. Now, we have done this ourselves, and we have a number. I'm not going to give it to you. I want you to go and do the searching on your own. You'll find that throughout the Gospel of John, the life is dependent only on believing. And this is why a lot of people have a problem with the Gospel of John, because it presents life, eternal life, as something that is a gift of God. And the only requirement is believing. And believing brings life. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Also, another thing to point out, there are really only two responses to the Gospel of John. The Thomas at the end of the Gospel of John, after the Lord Jesus said, "Behold me, see my hands and my feet," after the resurrection, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." The other response to the Gospel of John is like the Pharisees in the 8th chapter, is to stone him with stones. And so we either, when we're done reading the Gospel of John, we either reply with Thomas, "My Lord and my God," or we just say, "Forget it. We want nothing to do with this Savior." So this is the first place God begins with a man, is the Gospel of John. So another, number two I'd like to suggest is, once you've gone there, is you go to the letter to the Romans. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, wrote 7 church letters. And these are really, as we can, we like to say, this is truth for today. This is the calling and the marching orders of the church, the body of Christ. And in the letter to the Romans are found further steps in the relationship of the believer to God. The great theme of Romans is justification by faith. It tells how the believer is made righteous. Now, the Gospel of John simply says that if you believe, you have life through his name. Well, Romans really goes through systematically and tells us how that's possible. How can a just God bring life to a sinner? Well, Romans explains that. It tells how the believer is made righteous. It reveals the great secret of how that God can be just and at the same time the justifier of the ungodly. Now, Ephesians can never be grasped until first you understand Romans and the great truths laid down in Romans 5 through 8. And the practical truths of Romans 6 are a prerequisite to understanding Ephesians. And we'll see that in further studies as we go down the line here. But Romans, again, lays the great foundation. Justification by faith in Romans 3. And in Romans 6, 7, and 8, we find the foundation for what we call sanctification today. There are two types of sanctification in the world today. There's sanctification according to man's way, and then there's sanctification God's way. And you'll find in Romans 6, 7, and 8 that sanctification is just as much a gift of God as the gift of life is. And the positional truths of Romans 6, 7, and 8 must be grasped. And I dare say that the teachings of Romans 6, 7, 8 really changed my life, and I know they will change yours. The Reformation did a great deal with Martin Luther in helping us understand that justification was by faith. But it didn't go much further into showing us that the believer not only is justified, but that he's dead to sin in his position to Christ in his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. And we can only give you just a few thoughts, and hopefully you go back and study these things on your own. Now, finally, we turn to the Epistle of the Ephesians, and I think this is the third place we can go. Here in Ephesians, we have truth for the believer who would go on to perfection. And here is the only revelation in Ephesians of how the believer can conform himself to God's purpose during the present dispensation of grace. The position or calling offered in Ephesians is an essential requirement for one who would run the race lawfully. This calling is a hope far above that of any other calling. There is a walk connected with the calling which should balance the doctrinal teaching. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, it says, Paul pleads with us to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called. And you cannot walk worthy of something until you first know what that something is. Ephesians 1 through 3 lays out the teaching of the position of the believer in the body of Christ today and in his heavenly calling. And Ephesians 4 through 6 tells us how to live that out here and now. Ephesians 1 says, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our position, and it's ours by grace, bought and paid for by the work of the Son of God on Calvary. And yet those who are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, on the other side of Ephesians, we read that the husbands love their wives, wives submit themselves to their husbands. In other words, are you blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? Well, then I should be able to come into your home and see it lived out practically in your dealings in home. And so this is one of the things about truth, friends. Truth always should be put into practice. And however, we're not saying that if you don't practice them, that we don't teach salvation or justification by works. But what we teach here is that a believer who is justified has the privilege and the ability to carry out those truths in his daily life. And so we find that in the epistle to the Ephesians. So we started off today the ABCs of Bible study, and just to recap what we have, first of all, start with John, and go through John and ask God to open your eyes as to who this Lord Jesus Christ is, God's Son. And once you've done that and you believe that message, you go to Romans and go through there and learn, as Paul unfolds to us, the great teaching of justification by faith and our identification with him in Romans 6, 7, and 8, and the other practical things that follow. And then having done that, open up Paul's letter to the Ephesians and read it. And again, I can't stress this enough. Ephesians is not there just to look at. It's there to be believed. Paul says in Romans Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And faith is a requirement there. Believe what you read. And now finally, I would suggest once you've done that and you've had a good schooling in these foundational letters and books here in John, Romans, and Ephesians, it is an encouragement here that you start becoming a daily Bible reader, reading the Bible cover to cover. And many people do that. They start in Genesis, and they get to Exodus, and they get to around Exodus 21, and they peter out because they get into some of the details of the tabernacle, and they get to Leviticus with the offerings and so forth. But let me just encourage you it does require work and patience to go through it. Remember, the book you're holding in your hands is God's Word, containing God's words, and every word of God is pure. And so become a Bible reader. Read through it cover to cover. Even the Apostle Paul told Timothy that he had known the Scriptures from a child. What Scriptures did Timothy know from a child? He knew the Old Testament. And so, friends, as believers today, we believe in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We should be a people of the book and start reading cover to cover. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining us today. Our web address, again, is crossandthrone.com. Again, it's crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. We ask, if you go to our website, you can listen to this program again. They're downloadable for free, or you can just play them. And please go back if you've missed part of this program or you'd like to go through and re-listen to something we said and check it out with the Scriptures. Please feel free to do so. We also have some study tools available for you online. We have the Companion Bible and a few other items that I think will be good practical help. So go on there and get a copy of those and go ahead and study away. Again, this is Dan Sheridan, and remember this until next time. The closer you draw near to Christ as He's revealed in the Word, the less ceremonial and religious you will be.